Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set. He's back to throw. Finds the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark, right here on Giants.com. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow with you. We're joined by Pat Hanlon at about 10 o'clock. Giants and Cowboys, a big game down in Big D, a place where the Giants have basically had a lease on the building, 3-0 down in the Jerry Jones' new stadium in Arlington, Texas. Lance, good morning.
How we doing, Schmelk?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing well. Looking forward to this weekend's game. It's always a big-time rivalry between these two teams, and it's an opportunity for the Giants to certainly build some cushion between them and their division rivals. So a golden opportunity facing the Giants right in the face. And like you mentioned, right off the top, Eli Manning plays stellar when it comes to Dallas Cowboys Stadium. So if he can continue his magic and try to solve this Cowboys defense, the Giants will certainly be in a position to win.
In my opinion, a game that's much more important for the Cowboys to win than the New York Giants. So I think, you know, if the Giants lose this game, they're 1-3 in the division. Granted, that's not good. But if the Cowboys drop to 3-4 and the Giants are at 6-2, that's a full 2.5 games behind the Giants. That's not somewhere they want to be.
And the Cowboys have a very difficult schedule after the Giants, so they don't nearly have as much wiggle room as the Giants would if they are victorious. Because remember, after the Cowboys game, the Giants have two AFC opponents, the Steelers and the Bengals, before the bye. And I'm not downgrading these games that they're not important, but remember, when it comes to the tiebreakers, AFC losses don't hurt you nearly as much as NFC games.
At all. AFC games are never taken into consideration until you get down to common opponents, in which case you'll start really talking about them, which is, I think, the third or fourth tiebreaker after division record, conference record, head-to-head, that sort of thing. So, obviously, the Giants, a very important game for them. 201-939-4513. We're taking your calls at 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send in your questions and comments to hashtag Giants Chat. We will get to those. Lance, I'll have our picks later in the show. One thing I'm sure the Giants want to do this week, Lance, is get their running game back on track. It was working so well for 3, 4, 5 straight weeks until they faced the Redskins last week and the running game kind of short-circuited. Ahmad Bradshaw had his little tantrum on the sideline. But no harm, no foul. No one's upset about it. The team's fine. So very important to get that balance, especially against a Cowboy defense that's ranked 4th in the league overall in terms of yards allowed. Only allowing, I think, 19 points a game, something like that. So they've been very good. You got to be balanced. You don't want to let Ware, Spencer, Ratliff, Hatcher pin their ears back and rush the passer on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9.
And also the fact that Sean Lee is no longer in the picture. The Cowboys losing their top young linebacker. He was their leading tackler, so they're going to go to Dan Connor, the veteran, the former Panther. So there's some movement around the front 7 for the Cowboys. Their secondary, I think, has vastly improved from last season. But you're right. You know, if you want to have balance, the way to do that is to dictate the tempo of the game on the ground. And last week, they got away from what had worked for them so successfully the previous 2 weeks. And, you know, I respect Bradshaw's fire. You want a running back to demand the football.
Sure you do.
That's a big positive for the team. So I had no issue with him, you know, showing some fire, showing some energy on the sidelines. I know the coaching staff would like him to down it a bit so that he
So would Victor Cruz, by the way.
Yes, exactly. Boy, that was some hit on Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz is fortunate he's not nursing a concussion this week.
No, let's not go nuts.
That was a pretty strong hit, though, that anyway. Bradshaw gave him. That was not a love tap. Let's put it that way.
It was not a love tap. Fair.
But they need to strive for balance. I think when they have a load where Manning throws, let's say, 25 to 30 times, they run it for 18 to 19, there's more fluidity on the offensive side of things. And this is going to be a game that I think they could get back to the balance. Because as you mentioned, Cowboys defense is good, but it's not as if teams have not been able to run the football against them.
201-939-4513. Let's go to our phones. John is in Virginia. Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
Johnny, you there?
Yeah, it's actually Josh.
But oh, sorry, good. Josh. What's up, pal?
No, I just want to say, first off, I want to say I like that I'm happy that my Giants were on fire, but I feel like we're on fire too early in the season. But it's okay because I feel like Eli is an MVP candidate. Cruz and King, Knicks are the best wide receiver tandem we have. And, yes, Dallas won week one and whatnot, but this is our year again. We're the best team in the NFC East. Final score is going to be 27-21. I feel like Eli is going to have over 300 yards passing. I would say another 82 in the fourth quarter. And if we go back to the run game, we're going to have we got to rush for more than 100 yards, and we got to get a pass rush up there because our pass rush has been lackluster ever beginning of the season. It's getting better, but still lackluster than what it was last year.
Hey, Josh, I'm with you. If the Giants do all those things you just described, run the ball, rush the passer, Eli plays well, the Giants are going to win this game and probably by a couple of scores. But something tells me it's probably not going to come quite that easily.
I don't think it's going to come that easy because on paper and on the field, Dallas has a good team. They do. But at the same time, I feel like where you got over the hump of the first game we had pre-game jitters or coming off what they call the Super Bowl hangover or whatnot. And I feel like we're a more focused team at this point of the season than we were September 5th at the beginning of kickoff of the season.
All right, Josh.
I just feel like our line, and our offensive line is doing a lot better.
Yeah.
Because I allowed only one sack
in the past,
four or five games?
Yep. All right, Josh,
I feel like we're doing good.
All right, Josh, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And, look, I think the Giants are a better team now than they were in week one, but I don't want to hear the excuse, and I've heard this from Giant fans this week, that, oh, it was a Super Bowl hangover, they weren't ready. No. It's the first game of the NFL season. You're in prime time on NBC, and you're playing a division rival. I don't want to hear this garbage that you weren't up and ready for the game, all right? That's one of the biggest games you'll play all year with national spotlight on you. I don't want to hear this, we weren't ready to play Super Bowl. I don't want to hear that as an excuse. Now, if you want to say they were banged up, and that's why they didn't play, well, that's fine, of course. Or they just didn't happen to play their best game. It happens. Sometimes guys don't play their best. That's cool. It happens. And I do think the Giants are a better team now than they were on September 5th. But, Lance, I don't want to hear the Super Bowl hangover, weren't ready for the game, they were quote-unquote ambushed. That's an excuse. And, I don't think Coach Coughlin wants to hear that either.
And a lot of the players referred to that after the loss to the Cowboys in week one, which was rather surprising. But you're right. There was a lot of emotion surrounding the game. I think that would have been something that they would have fed off of.
You would think.
Considering they're in front of their home crowd, they're raising the banners, they just won the title, but it did not add up to that. You can point to the injuries, as you just noted, John. And I think what's important to bring to the forefront is both teams have come a long way since that week one game. You've got the Cowboys that are a bit healthier on defense, despite the loss of Sean Lee. Remember, last week was the first time Jay Ratliff, their nose tackle, Anthony Spencer, and DeMarcus Ware were all on the field at the same time.
Spencer did play against the Giants in week one, however.
But now they've got that threesome all together. And when you have all of your big weapons on the field, you know your defense can really raise its game.
And Claiborne's probably healthier now than he was in week one, coming off a knee injury as well. And offensively, the Cowboys will basically have the same offensive line.
Jason Witten's healthier.
Witten's healthier, but DeMarco Murray is not. He will not play in this game when he played in week number one. So there is a balance here. But I think the Giants are probably going in the better direction in terms of injuries as opposed to the Cowboys, who seem to be more banged up now than they were in week number one.
Well, with respect to the Giants, you have the secondary in much better shape. Prince Amukamara is going to be out there. Remember, Miles Austin gets a touchdown on Justin Tryon. He outjumps him. So they did not have their full depth chart showcase with respect to the secondary. Canty's back. I think that will help them get better in stopping the run. You figure his snaps are going to go up this week. And the offensive line, as our caller Josh just pointed out, is in better shape. So, you know, the Giants' depth, I think, is going to be utilized a little bit differently than it was in that week one matchup. But, you know, I'm not saying dismiss the stats and the trends we saw from that week one matchup, but you have to take into consideration, once different personnel is out there, each team's going to showcase different looks, and that could very well impact how this game plays out.
And I'll be curious to see if the Giants attack that Cowboys secondary a little bit differently. In that week one, it was kind of, let's guess and try to figure out what the Cowboys are going to do in the secondary with all their new personnel. It was the first time you were going to see Brandon Carr, Morris Claiborne, Barry Church at safety in that game. And you didn't know what the Cowboys were going to do in terms of their coverages. They had not played a regular season game yet. Obviously, you can't trust everything you see on tape from the preseason. So Now they have 6 games worth of tape. So they have a much better idea of how the Cowboys are going to work that secondary. And talking to Kevin Gilbride yesterday, he made the point that the Cowboys switch up a lot of what they do based on who they're playing. They've played a lot of two safety high, and then they've played about a lot of one safety high, about 50-50 mix. So the way he described it, you run different types of patterns that'll work on different coverages on either side of the field. Depending on what coverage the Cowboys are in, that's the side of the field you go to. I thought that was kind of interesting.
And if you're the Cowboys defense, John, given that the Giants took somewhat of a step back with the running game, I think you want to test the Giants early and prevent the big pass. Let's see what the Giants could do on the ground. That's just speculation on my part, but, I mean, that's what Dallas's mantra, I think, is right now. They take pride in their secondary. They don't want to give the big pass up to Eli Manning, so they're going to say, listen, Giants, you want to do something on offense? Let's see you run the football. That's what I think their strategy is going to be coming in.
And I know this is the Giants show, obviously, but I think a lot of this game, too, depends on how the Cowboys play, because the Cowboys are a very Jekyll and Hyde type of team. The Giants can play one of their best games, but if the Cowboys come out and they don't have one of those games where they have a lot of penalties and they don't make the big mistake and turn the ball over,
and the offensive line doesn't do a good job,
you know, and they stay healthy, whatever the case might be, but more the turnovers or the penalties, because those are the two things that have really killed the Cowboys all year long. If they have a game where you clean those two things up, and many times those are self-inflicted wounds. Now, the Giants might force a turnover with a blindside sack or a great play on the ball. I'm not counting those. I'm talking about the Tony Romo not seeing the linebacker, throwing it right to him. I'm talking about the Dez Bryant running the wrong route. Tony Romo throws it right to the cornerback. I'm talking about 6 false starts, offensive holding. I'm talking about those self-inflicted wounds. If the Cowboys don't commit those types of mistakes, they are as tough of a team as any in this league to beat. So as much as we break down the Giants and what they need to do to beat Dallas, there is another team on the field. And how they play, especially with a team like the Cowboys, who hurt themselves so much with mistakes, will determine how tough or easy of a game this is.
Though the funny part is, you look back at Week 1, those penalties didn't hurt the Cowboys. That drive.
Well, they
Romo,
did.
But when Romo hooked up with Miles
Austin,
they overcame that. It was, I mean, it was a penalty fiesta.
Was
I like
it what?
To call
first
it.
And third and third. Was it a third?
First and 30.
First and 30, right?
Yep, first and 30, and he hit Austin for 34 yards.
Oh, but boy, I forgot about that. That's right.
If you look back at the drive, John, you have penalty on Romo for a delay of game. Then a penalty on Linville Joseph, so those canceled one another out. A false start on the Cowboys, an illegal motion on Dez Bryant, an illegal use of the hands from another Cowboys offensive lineman, and then a penalty on free for offensive holding. So we're talking 5 to 6 penalties combined on that drive,
yeah.
And they managed to overcome that. You're right.
201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Our good buddy, Lance, has his notepad out. He's going to keep track of Lennon Columbia, Maryland's keys to the game. Len, what do you got?
How you doing, guys?
Doing great, Len.
What you got?
Listen, I'm confident, but I'm not overconfident. We've gone down there and won before, as everybody knows. I don't see any reason why we can't be 6-2 about 7:30 on Sunday night.
That's fair.
I like the Giants, 33-27.
All right, now what do the Giants need to do to win this game?
Yeah, what are the keys to the victory?
Here's where we need. Here's where we need the big game. Steve Weatherford's got to help us out. He's having. You know, he's a good punter. I think he's having a very average year. I think he's got to pin the Cowboys.
He has not been as good.
I think we got to score. I think we got to score 7 times, 6 or 7 times to win this game.
Okay.
And as you've already said, limit the turnovers. Tony Romo's going to make mistakes. He's going to make mistakes.
Not every game, Len.
I think we got to take advantage of those. Here's the big games. JPP, Boley. And I think they're going to go after Prince. We're going to find out how much progress Prince has made. I'm worried about the nose tackle. I'm worried about Ratliff. I think David Boss does a good job against a 4-3 defense. Nose tackles give him trouble. He had a problem with Cofield last week. God bless Barry Cofield. Good player. Always liked him, but he gave us trouble. If we can't get Ratliff Black, blocked. If he's getting any kind of push, even against the double team, our running game is going to suffer. Hey, but 33-27 Giants. Who'll be surprised? I won't be surprised at 6-2. And we just wait for Tony to make the mistake and then capitalize. What do you guys think?
All right, Len. Appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. And you know what? Romo often makes the mistake. He didn't make a mistake in week one.
Well, he threw the one pick, and they couldn't capitalize off of that with the touchdown
on the Boley
return.
That's right. But he has that game this year where he hasn't thrown a pick. And he's had big game against the Giants.
Very good.
A lot of three touchdown, no interception games. Someone had this stat on Twitter. I think it was Bob Glauber. Something in the last five games against the Giants, Romo is 13 touchdowns and two picks or something like that. He has very good numbers over the Giants over the last five or six games. So he doesn't always make a mistake. Now, you can force him into mistakes. And I think that goes back to another one of Len's keys, which is a good one, and that's Jason Pierre-Paul. And let's throw the other pass rushers into the mix there. If they can take advantage of this banged-up Cowboys offensive line, really the center is the only place where they have the injury, but it's a big one. Phil Costa is an upgrade over Cook. So that's going to be painful
but
for Dallas.
But Cook played in the first game because Costa only lasted three snaps.
And he did a good job.
Yeah.
And now the other matchup that he mentioned is JPP specific. Him and Osi are going to go up against Teron Smith. And even though they didn't have any sacks in that first game, I thought they kind of handled him pretty well in that contest. I want to see how Teron Smith, with six more games under his belt at left tackle, deals with those Giants pass rushers on that side of the field.
Well, you know, we mentioned that the Cowboys shoot themselves in the foot with regard to the penalties, but let's not forget the Giants forced some of that.
Of course.
And I think, like you said, the presence of OC, the presence of Tuck on Smith all of a sudden makes him shuffle his feet perhaps before the snap, and that could bring about some mistakes that the Cowboys are going to have stockpile, and that would definitely play in the favor of the Giants. But you're right, the pass rush could be key in getting to Tony Romo and then forcing the turnovers. He did a great job at getting rid of the football very quickly, and I think that was the best strategy in basically making the pass rush non-existent almost for the Giants. Got rid of it off of those slants. It will be interesting if the Cowboys implement a similar game plan. Remember, Ogletree was the player of the game. Now Ogletree has fallen silent since. So can they lean on him this time around, or do the Cowboys all of a sudden pull a 180 and really try to catch the Giants off guard? Because remember, you look back at that Panthers game, and this is, again, just pure speculation. To me, it seemed Dallas was saving something for the Giants.
I agree, actually. I happen to agree with you.
It didn't seem as if the Cowboys were really going at the Panthers aggressively to close the door on that game early. They left it for their defense. They took the field goal late. Maybe Garrett and company, their philosophy was, you know what, it's our second time around against a divisional opponent. We don't want to put everything on tape so quickly and make the Giants have an easier time studying us.
Honestly, in my opinion, the Cowboys haven't been the same type of offense the first 6 weeks that we've seen in years past. They only have 17 passes of 20-plus yards. They've been a very methodical team. They've run the ball a lot more this year. They've had much longer drives. Romo's trying to get rid of the ball quicker, as you mentioned, mostly because the offensive line has some issues. They're not the best pass-blocking offensive line in the world. And you almost wonder what game they're going to wait. When instead of running all those slants again and again, you have a little pump fake and you run the slant and go. Is that something they're waiting for this week? Or maybe they're not because they're worried about their offensive line protecting Tony Romo. Maybe this is something they save for later in the season. But you feel like at some point they're going to try to open up that offense and get the ball down the field. One thing I'd like to see the Giants do is try to isolate Jason Pierre-Paul and Doug Free. I think that could be a big advantage for the Giants on that side of the field. You put OC rushing from his usual right end spot. You put Jason Pierre-Paul over the right tackle, Doug Free. Let him go at him one-on-one. That should be a matchup the Giants can win on a very consistent basis.
You touched on it and you alluded to it earlier in the show. To me, there's plenty of favorable matchups with respect to the Giants' defensive line against this Cowboys' offensive line. The other thing real quickly regarding how the Cowboys attacked the Giants' secondary, Len mentioned going after Prince Amukamara because he didn't play in the first game. How about Corey Webster? Remember, he got beat a couple of times in that week one matchup. He's still not yet fully healthy. You know, maybe the Cowboys say to themselves, this is another area that we can look to take advantage of if Webster doesn't bring his A game.
201-939-4513. The phones are packed and ready to go. Let's go to them, and let's start with Dexter in Las Vegas. What's up, Dexter?
How you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to tell you, you guys are doing great. I listen to you guys whenever I get a chance and stuff.
Appreciate it.
But I just want to let y'all know, I hear a lot of what ifs with the Cowboys and the Giants and stuff. And I just want to tell you, Giants are a much better team now than the first game that they had with the Cowboys. And stuff.
I agree.
And don't get me wrong.
I agree.
Romo and his guys and stuff, they're doing a lot of mistakes when it comes to playing. But now that the Giants are doing well and they're doing a great job right now, honestly, these teams like San Francisco and Cowboys and everybody else, they got to come to the Giants because they are the Super Bowl champs. So we really don't have anything to prove. But as far as our game right now, our game is on top lead. And as far as our rushing, we got the best running backs out there right now. And if they use Brown and Wilson like they're supposed to, I think we'll have a really better game and stuff. But I think they're going to utilize them in this game because the Cowboys haven't had a little taste of Brown and Wilson at this point. But also OC and JP, they're going to prove something on Sunday because they didn't get no sacks last time, and they are a better game right now, and our team is clicking together. So I believe that we're going to become victorious this Sunday.
Well, the defensive line is certainly a key element that John and I had touched on throughout the show, and I agree. I think that if they can get to the Cowboys' offensive line, that is going to put Tony Romo in a position where maybe he makes a mistake.
Good stuff out of Dexter,
exactly.
By the way.
And Canty is now on the board, too, so we're going to be a whole lot better team this time.
Hey, you know what, Dexter? I think Canty is a great point because with the Cowboys, I think, are weakest on the offensive line is inside. They have strong guys, but they're not the most athletic. So if the Giants can move some of those faster athletic guys inside to supplement Canty, I think they can get some big pressure on Romo up the middle, which is really where you're going to be most effective against him. If you rush him around the edges, that's great, but he's so good at avoiding the rush that he can still get outside, avoid it. But if you start pressuring up the middle, make him force him to throw off that back foot, that's when you're going to get the mistakes and the turnovers.
Exactly. All right, guys, you have a good day.
Thanks,
right,
Dexter. Good stuff.
So much.
I wonder if Dexter's waking up in Las Vegas or he's had a long night and he's just still awake from the night before.
Well, hopefully
we're
keeping him awake. At least that's what he had alluded to.
Or
earlier,
maybe he puts us on to go to sleep.
It could be. It could go either way.
It could go either way.
We'll leave it to the listeners.
201-939-4513. A little more local. Alex is up in Connecticut. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
This is a little bit off topic, but I was watching the game last night, and Doug Martin had a great game. And I know that Tampa Bay jumped one spot ahead of the Giants in the draft, but you guys think that we have any regrets not going after Doug Martin instead of David Wilson? I like Wilson a lot, but Doug Martin just seems like he's a little bit more ready for the NFL at this point.
Well, Doug Martin wasn't there. I mean, Doug Martin got picked the pick before the Giants went, and from what I understand, David Wilson was higher than Doug Martin on the draft board. Now, do I think Doug Martin overall is a better every down, all around, you know, pound the ball, 20 carry game type of back? I think he is, and I think the Giants knew that too. But I think they valued the big playability of Wilson. Now, just look at him on the kickoff. Look how he's improved the Giants' kickoff return game. They valued that more than Martin's every down, ground and pound type of attack.
Right, I'm still keeping optimistic. I mean, I still like him a lot, but, I mean, you know, Martin just had a monster game last night. And just one more quick question. I know there's been some talk in the news this week about Victor Cruz's contract. Do you think that they're going to get that done before the season ends? Because I hate having to, like, drag it out over the off season. And, you know, we really got to keep this guy. He's one of our best players, you know, maybe ever at this point, and I really want to see him get a long-term contract.
Well, remember, Cruz isn't a free agent after the year. He's not a free agent until after next season. He'll be restricted after this year. So the Giants still have him under their own control. My guess is that shortly after the season's over, it probably won't be during the season, in my opinion. I could be wrong. It could happen during the season. But generally, these things happen after the season's over. They'll get together quickly. I think they'll work out a long-term deal in relatively short order.
All right, thanks a lot. And Giants are going to win 33-17.
All right, there we go. Like it, Alex. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in Richmond, Virginia. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I'm not going to give as much love to the Giants as the guy in Las Vegas, but I share his enthusiasm. But I think the keys for the game are a couple things. One, if you look at how the Giants have played the Cowboys, regardless if they've had the better record or not, they always play us tough. If you look at the recent scores, I mean, we haven't won any 15 or 14-point games in a long time against them. And I think one of the reasons is we've got to contain Romo from getting outside the pocket. I think he's more dangerous when he gets outside the pocket than inside the pocket. And guys like OC and Tuck, they like to rush, you know, too quickly to the outside, and they don't contain the quarterback, and then those guys get outside, and like RG3 was doing, and then Romo's going to throw the ball and make something happen. I also think another key to the game is I think Eli just needs to be a little bit sharper. I don't think that game in Washington was going to be probably as close as it needed to be if you know, he connected on a couple of passes to Cruz or didn't overthrow some of his receivers. And finally, I agree. I think we need to our special teams, not only the punting, but also we need better blocking on the kickoff returns, because Randall's not really getting any opportunities to run the ball back.
Punt returns, you mean.
So that'll put us in better field position. I wonder what your guys' thoughts are on the on those comments.
Well, they've been getting great blocking on the kickoff returns, because I think David Wilson has had plenty of opportunities. But you're right. I think they would like to get better production out of their punt returns, and special teams, as we've seen in weeks prior, is certainly a game changer. If they could give Eli Manning half the field to work with, as opposed to having to put together 70 to 80 yard drives, I think that could go a long way in really swinging the momentum in favor of the Giants. With respect to getting Romo out of the pocket, you know, I agree that they need to contain him. They don't want him to run off the edges, because he's very good at creating something out of nothing. But here's another key that I want to throw out with respect to the defensive line. Given what Romo showed in week one and getting rid of the football very quickly, sometimes putting your hands up at the line and batting down a football is just as good as a sack.
Especially with all the slants the Cowboys run.
And that, I think, is another key element to watch out for this weekend. The fact that if the Giants don't get to Romo consistently, you know, JPP, OC Tuck, these guys have big wingspans. They should be able to take advantage of that. If they see Romo getting rid of the football, get your hands in those passing lanes, deflect them, and then you're not going to give the big plays up down the field, or you're not going to allow the receivers to get out into the flat and then run for big chunks of yardage if they don't have the football. So that's another way to counterattack, I think, what could be a very up-tempo Cowboys offense. Because remember, Eli Manning, and this gets back to another point that was just thrown out by Mike. You know, Manning had some issues communication-wise with his receivers against the Redskins. And he mentioned that the Redskins' defense caught him off guard. They threw a lot of different looks at Manning. On paper, at least, Cowboys' defense is apples and oranges compared to the Redskins in terms of their ability to contain the passing game. So, you know, Manning's got to be really on key. And I thought that he showcased plenty of his talents in the week one matchup. It wasn't as if that Dallas secondary, despite them really going out in the offseason and beefing it up with talent, weren't able to necessarily shut down Eli Manning. And Victor Cruz didn't have necessarily a prominent game. But I think there's going to be opportunities to go after the Cowboys secondary, given that, remember, Barry Church is no longer in the picture, so there's still a lot of movement in that safety spot. And remember, Maurice Claiborne's a solid corner, but he's a rookie. He hasn't seen everything so far.
Correct.
He's only been out there for X amount of games. You still need to test him and throw different looks at him, despite how improved the Cowboys' defense overall is.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Pat Halen joining us in just a few minutes. Talk some Giants. Well, I know Lance has a couple of very good questions for Pat this week. So we're going to let Lance really carry that interview. I'm going to kind of slink into the background here and let Pat openly assault you this week instead of him focusing his energy
on me. Well, we got to get him a little riled up here. It's a big Giants-Cowboys game.
Andrew in South Florida. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, pal?
One of the callers was talking about how much mistakes Romo makes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was watching the game that the Redskins games last week. You know, Eli tends to make mistakes, too.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to have to play a pretty perfect game, because, I don't know, I just don't have that much faith in our secondary. You know, they played a terrible game in week one. They were getting beat deep and on slant routes. So, I don't know. If the secondary doesn't have a good game, it's going to be a long game.
Yeah, Andrew, I got to be honest with you. I think this game in the end will come down to the two quarterbacks against the two team secondaries. Now, the Cowboys defense has undoubtedly been better than the Giants this season. But now that the Giants are seeing them a second time, Eli Manning has had a lot of success against the Cowboys. Brandon Carr and Claiborne have not looked great the last few weeks. The Cowboys have injury issues at safety. Can the Giants light up the Cowboys secondary like they have in the past? That's question one. Question two, can the Cowboys offense turn all the yards they're gaining, their 10th in the league in yards, into points? They're only 24th in points with 18 a game. That's not very good, because they have the penalties, the turnovers, all the mistakes we talked about earlier in the show. Can the Cowboys put up points in the passing game and maybe make some big plays? Another thing they haven't done a whole lot this year, only 17 pass plays of 20 yards or more. So that, to me, is where this is going to come down to. It's going to come down to which quarterback can make those big plays against the opposing secondary.
Yeah. You think Prince Amukamara and Jayon Hosley being healthy this time will make a huge difference?
Oh, it helps.
That'll maybe Perry Field will change up the scheme a little bit, so they don't have to play so far off.
Well, he has changed up the scheme in weeks prior by, showing different schemes in terms of how he uses players, whether it be on the line or at the linebacker spot.
He's moved personnel around a lot.
So I think that has already been showcased, but you're absolutely right. I mean, the secondary is in a lot better shape than it was in week one, and I think that's going to give the Giants an edge overall because it's going to give the Cowboys a different look. Now, they saw a lot of Justin Tryon in that week one matchup.
And Michael Coe.
They're not going to see probably those two players nearly as much.
No, because Hosley's been very good in the slot despite the touchdown he gave up to Santana Moss, which is really, the coverage wasn't even that bad on that play. It was just a fantastic pass by Robert Griffin III, and he had no help over the top, which is always tough for a slot corner. And look, Prince has been pretty good. Corey Webster is getting healthier with the hamstring in the hand. So I think the Giants will be in will be in better shape in the secondary against Dallas. But again, the Cowboys haven't really tried to air it out much since that week one game. They haven't made a lot of big plays.
Well, and that gets back to the point that we touched on earlier where maybe Dallas was holding back the last couple of weeks because they know now they're going to see some of their divisional opponents the second time around. And if you showcase everything, that opponent is going to pretty much know you like the back of their hand. So perhaps that was part of the strategy for Dallas. And you're right, they have not been very good in the red zone specifically. It hasn't been that they haven't been able to move the football, but they've been settling for field goals as opposed to touchdowns.
They haven't been as good in the red zone, that's true. But I don't think they're necessarily holding back. Look, you got to win games. 3-3, you got to win as many games as you can in the division, out of division, whatever. But I think they have been keeping their offense more conservative to protect their quarterback because they don't necessarily trust their offensive line. And I'm not sure if that's going to change this week against a great Giants pass rush. So, in my opinion, they're still going to keep it short and sweet and get rid of the ball very quickly.
And the inconsistency of the offensive line, John, has been why the running game has been up and down. You know, they had a productive game against the Giants, and then DeMarco Murray really fell off the face of the earth. They had that huge breakout game against the Ravens when they ran over 200, they had 200 yards on the ground. And then last week, it wasn't that productive. I know they had a balance between Felix Jones and Philip Tanner, but, you know, if Dallas could get its running game going, that, I think, can help their offense overall be more balanced, just as it will for the Giants. You know, you got to get that running game going because it takes pressure off of your quarterback, whether it be Eli Manning or Tony Romo. It's as simple as that.
And let's, of course, see if Felix Jones is healthy enough to play. He has been working a little bit in practice, so we'll see what happens with Felix Jones. The Giants would obviously love it if he's unable to go. Then you get the immortal Lance Dunbar and Philip Tanner splitting the carries for the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go back to our phones. We heard from Ed yesterday, on Tuesday rather. Now it's Big Ed's turn down in Maryland. What's up, Big Ed?
What's up, Big John? What's up, Big Lance? I got y'all both together at the same time.
What's up, buddy?
How y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, man.
All right. Okay, Big John.
Yeah.
Look here.
What do you got?
Looking to come. I'm going to the Redskins game on Monday night.
Nice.
Okay, that's here.
Very good.
Okay, now, my first home game up there, I'm looking at the Saints game.
Very good.
So that's what I wanted to let you know that part. Okay,
nice.
Now, as far as this Dallas game, we got to take take the whole entire Chicago Bears recipe and then as well as the Seattle's recipe for beating Dallas. You don't beat them with what we beat them with. You beat them with somebody else beats them with. That's a better strategy simply because what it does is it keeps them confused. And then, more importantly, we can keep constant pressure on them where Tony Romo can't even breathe. Because I noticed that even last week, how fast JPP came off the edge when he got that sack and that fumble off of RG3. So I know if we just constantly give him that pressure defense all day in his face, he don't have time to do nothing. Because it's too much team speed in the flow of a game.
You're right. I mean, they got to test that offensive line, Big Ed, because you don't know which Cowboys offensive line is going to show up. Is it going to be the one that protected Romo as good as it did week one and was able to establish the run? Or is it going to be the one that commits numerous penalties and allows things to break down so that their quarterback can be left out to dry?
Yep, I agree.
Absolutely.
All right, Big Ed, thanks for the call, man. If you take a look, Big Ed, at that Seattle game, at that Chicago game, it was a 27-7 loss to Seattle. I'm trying to find the box score here for that game. And then the Bear game, They lost 34-18. So obviously, though, those are two big losses for the Cowboys. I think he makes a good point. You could definitely look at those games, see what those teams did, and what you can copy. Now, what the Bears did, they got Brandon Marshall a lot in isolation situations inside, and they exploited the Cowboys that way. But the bigger deal in that game was obviously the turnover. Some of those were self-inflicted wounds by Dallas. Others were, of course, good plays by the Chicago Bears. They also tried to run the ball there, didn't run it particularly well. But the Seahawks were the one team that was able to run the ball really well on the Cowboys in that game. Marshawn Lynch went for 26 for 122. That really kept the Cowboys' offense off the field in that game. Seattle won the time of possession battle in that contest, almost 35 minutes to 25. They had the ball for 10 more minutes. So those are two things they can try to copy, forcing turnovers, which is obviously for every game. But Seattle was able to run the ball, which, of course, the Giants love that balance.
Well, we talk about all the game-changing plays that the defense needs to make. Your best defense is time of possession for your offense, because the offense for the opposition is not going to be on the field. It's as simple as that. And Seattle, I thought, did a great job riding Marshawn Lynch. You know, they had a rookie quarterback in Russell Wilson. They did not want to put the game in his hands, and they had success. Also, Sean Lee, if I recall, was briefly knocked out of that game. That was when Golden Tate had that big hit. And Sean Lee's not going to be in this game from the start.
Well, Lee did come back in that game, though.
But he was out momentarily, where I think the game was relatively close at that point. Right. At least the Cowboys were within striking distance still.
201-939-4513. We still await Pat Halen. Should be with us in just a few minutes. We're going to go to Milo down in Florida. What's up, Milo?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm psyched up for this game. And, you know, if you look at the history, they've always been close. But remember that last game, you know, the outcome was only 7 points, and
yep.
Knicks was obviously hobbled. And Cruz, what did he drop, 3 or 4 passes?
Yeah, also true.
And, you know, I think really that the difference, that might be the difference in the game, and in the fact that our offensive line is also playing much better. And the only thing that worries me is, I have a question, is, you know, both the Bears and Seattle tend to handle the run a lot better, a run defense better than we do.
100%.
And that's the only thing I'm scared about is, you know, what do we give up, 250 yards against the Redskins? And even though DeMarco Murray's out, they always figure a way to run the ball on us.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Cowboys have had success in previous matchups and certainly in week one. But remember, the personnel is a bit different this time around. Murray's not in the picture because of the sprained foot, so they're going to use a combination of Felix Jones, who's hurt himself, and Philip Tanner. And they're different style runners than DeMarco Murray is. So we'll see how that perhaps can affect the Cowboys' rushing game. You look at the numbers last week against Carolina, they were not able to set the tempo of that game on the ground. So clearly, the running game has taken somewhat of a step back. But on the flip side, in terms of how the Giants defense has fared against all style of running backs, they have struggled in that department.
Giants right now rank 23rd in the league against the run. They're giving up an average of 126 yards per game. That's the ranking. That's 23rd in the league. If you look at yards per carry, which is also a pretty telling stat, they're giving up 5 yards per carry on the ground. That's actually third worst in the league. So clearly, you know, Tom Coughlin's first thing on offense, on defense, is to win the battle at the line of scrimmage, stop the run, run the football. I'm sure that's a focus this week.
And Alfred Morris had nearly 100 yards in the first half alone last week.
But they did a much better job in half number two after they made their halftime adjustments. Now we're joined, like we are every Friday, by Senior Vice President of Communications for the New York Football Giants, Pat Hanlon. Pat, good morning. How are you?
Let me ask you something.
Sure.
You know, normally I get a little reminder, hey, Pat, you're going to be down at 10:05. Come join us. Nothing this morning.
Well, I figured we have a nice little thing here. I figured you're used to it. We're used to it.
Let me say this.
We're in a schedule.
If you're trying to shake me, it ain't going to work. All right?
What's happening?
What's the conversation this morning?
Let's see. I think a lot of the feeling here is trying to figure out the type of game this is going to be. Is it going to be kind of like an old school Giants-Cowboys like it has been the last 4 or 5 years, kind of a shootout type of game? Or has, you know, between the Giants' pass rush, the Cowboys' improved secondary, is it going to be a little bit more like week number one, where it's a little bit more on the low-scoring side? Your thoughts?
Well, I'm curious to find out where you guys...
We've talked about it already.
Huh?
We talked about it for the last...
Well, he wants to know.
So where did you... I'm not sitting at my desk listening to you. I can guarantee
you
that.
Really? No.
I'm up there doing work.
Well, honestly,
for Neely,
Pat
and Mike Eisen and you people.
I think there's going to be balance between the run and pass for both teams. But in the end, in my opinion, this is going to come down to the two quarterbacks, like it always does in this matchup. And whichever one makes fewer mistakes, whichever defense forces the other one into more mistakes. As you well know, last week the Giants won the turnover battle plus two. If they don't do that, they probably don't win the football game. And in the end, when Tony Romo makes mistakes, he generally loses. When he plays a clean game, the Cowboys generally win. And that probably is what it's going to come down to in the end, right?
Isn't that every football game?
Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it?
Why do you think Eli likes playing in Cowboys Stadium so much?
I don't have a good answer for that, do you?
Yeah, I do.
What do you got?
It's ideal. The conditions are ideal. You're talking about a guy who makes his living playing in the Northeast, battling the elements, you know, basically every week of the year. And this is one of the few times where he has a chance to go into a controlled environment and run and execute his offense the way, you know, he wants to. Have you seen what Aaron Rodgers has done the last 2 weeks?
It's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Tell me where he's played.
A couple of domes, I bet.
That's correct.
Good point.
All right. So that is, I think that's one of the elements at work here and why, you know, it's not out of the realm to expect another shootout.
Now, Lance has a plethora of questions for you.
We still have to run the football.
Correct. And both teams will try to get balance and stop the run. DeMarco Murray had a good game against the Giants in week number one.
Why are you dumping this on Lance?
No, because Lance told me during the week he had a list of questions for you. But I have one thing for you, and this is good. The Giants.
I'm glad somebody actually prepares for this.
Oh, don't worry. We're good here.
Yeah.
The injury list, when we got it on Wednesday,
nice
much
and
shorter.
Shorter.
It's getting shorter every week. And unlike week one, it seems like the Giants are the much healthier team this week as opposed to the Cowboys.
And, of course, you would go ahead and tempt fate by talking about that, right? Maybe you've missed that point. We don't talk about that. We don't tempt fate.
Okay.
But as the head coach said yesterday, yeah, the objective is to watch that list diminish. And fortunately, we're at that point now.
Well, one bright spot in terms of the injury report is having Chris Canty back.
Where's your list?
Well, I it's up here too, like Schmel.
I like the way you guys keep pointing to your heads. Like, yeah, it's right here.
Clearly,
the listeners can see this show as well.
Speaking of empty heads. Hey, Don.
Walked right into that one,
perfect,
didn't you,
timing.
Boss?
We're on the air, Don, or on the internet, or whatever this is called. We're taking up bandwidth.
Anyway, Lance.
Well, I actually wanted to go off topic here for a second. But, you know, John went immediately to the injury route, which I wasn't going to go. I want to go back to Twitter here, which is, I know, one of your favorite topics. And, you know, I do follow you.
You are trying to get me fired.
You know, like the other four people.
Yeah.
But I noticed.
That's a shot, Pat.
You know, I mean, I got it.
Hey, Neil, let's make sure we send a nice gift basket during the holidays over to Sirius to Lance,
yes,
okay?
Indeed.
Since we won't be seeing him much.
So the 10,000th tweet
was
issued this week.
Yes.
That's a big, momentous occasion in social media. But you did not make too much of a big deal about it here. I thought maybe we could get you to reflect a little bit.
No, let's not reflect.
Special occasion.
Maybe you missed the tweet.
No, I did see the
tweet. The tweet was, why don't we go back and revisit some of the highlights of the first 9,999, and then I said, upon further consideration, maybe that's not such a good idea.
Well, but it's been a couple of days since that tweet was issued, so I thought maybe you had an opportunity.
No, my most recent tweet was about how absurd this whole list thing is that people do, including us, by the way, how ridiculous it is to have the most overrated player.
Oh, please.
Well, thank you. But how come when I turn on Sirius in the morning, the update starts with, and oh, by the way, so-and-so has been voted the most overrated player. But that's my point. It's ridiculous.
You know, it's funny. And you had
it drives me nuts. And I hope that I've never worked with a player in 25 years who would even think about responding if somebody said, hey, who do you think the most overrated player in the NFL is? I hope I've never worked with one player who would think the right thing to do would be to answer that question because it's a ridiculous question.
And it's funny, you talk about these surveys. The NBA released this GM survey last week, too. You had, what, 30% of the players respond in that player survey where they had all the overrated, underrated players. You don't even know who's casting these votes half the time, Patty. They could be passing this thing to other people, and they just put the first name that comes to mind. This isn't a scientific thing. I don't think anybody should take them seriously.
Well, that was my point. Thanks for bringing it up.
You're more than welcome. But on a side note, for the listeners who may not be aware, Pat's referring to the Sports Illustrated poll that came out this week where Tim Tebow was voted as the most overrated player in the league.
And now if you go down that list at the very end, the most overrated internet talk radio host was
yes,
Lance Meadow.
Thank
so,
you. I know.
Let me ask you a question.
What do you got?
How many players did they base that poll on? How many responses?
I think it was, like 30% of the players
responded. No.
What was it?
No, if I'm not mistaken, Lance, you know all this stuff. I think I've heard on my serious updates, I think I've heard, what, 184 players?
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was a small sample
yeah.
size.
Right.
So basically
small,
three
it's
teams.
It's not worth mentioning.
Three
right.
teams, basically. That's it. So there you go.
180, right? How many players are there in the NFL? 1,600?
Something
yeah,
about that.
Oh,
yeah, you figure, what, 32 teams about, yeah.
Anyway, whatever. We just I just did something I shouldn't have done. I gave it way more time and attention than it deserves.
All right, well, I'm going to get
but
back.
But it sticks in my craw. Maybe you didn't notice.
I'm going to get back to your second favorite topic, which is the injury report. I know it is small this week, which is certainly, knock on wood, a good thing for the Giants, but Canty came back last week, played about 25 to 30 snaps, tried to brush off some of the rust, has had another week of practice. How much do you think he's going to help in specifically stopping the run on defense?
He's going to be a tremendous asset, but think about how difficult it is what he did last week. He hasn't had any real contact because you can't, you know, once we get out of training camp, you don't get that in practice. He had exactly three football practices, right, with no real contact. Now he's got to line up for the first time in the season against that Washington offense, which nobody's accustomed to defending.
No
right?
one stopped it all year.
Yeah. So, I mean, so he's got to line up against that offense for the first time with no real football work. And he played 25 to 30 plays, and he did a really decent job for a guy under those circumstances. He's only going to get better. I mean, with that experience, he's only going to get better. You know, when his Perry Fuel was talking about his performance last week. He was talking about it yesterday. And he said you could see the rust because he had – the running back nailed in the backfield on one play, but he just didn't wrap his arms because he's not used to tackling. And, so he's going to make those kind of plays, that play that he missed, as we move along in the season. But you can't, you know, you've got a guy who's a great leader in the locker room, which you can't replace that. And you've got a guy who's an extremely talented player at a position where our depth for a team that has such great depth in a lot of other places – that depth has really been tested at the defensive tackle position this year.
Now, Pat,
so he's coming back at the right time.
Now, obviously, the Giant fans are all very happy. The team's won three in a row. But despite the winning, obviously, what the coaches do, they take a look at, even in the victories, the things on this team that they can try to improve and get better. And I got to imagine the number one thing the last three, 4 weeks probably has to be the run defense. Trent Richardson was very good against them. Even going back to Philadelphia, LeSean McCoy the mid-second half. We saw the numbers last week on the ground. They did do a pretty good job against the Niners stopping the run, though the Niners did kind of abandon that running attack early in that second half.
Well, that's because our offense put pressure on them to do that.
No question. Big right. lead, you have to throw the football. No question about it. Is that something that really is at the forefront of the coaches' minds right now, trying to figure out how to improve that run defense overall?
It always is. And to me, one of the real encouraging things that I've heard out of our players' mouths is how, for instance, last week against Washington, how they've been able to go in at halftime and make adjustments to what they were doing in the first half and come out and be a more effective defense in the second half. We've done that on a couple of occasions this year where, you know, teams have run the ball on us in the first half. We've gone in, we've adjusted, we've come out, we've done a much better job. But as Tom Coughlin said this week, that is the game of professional football. It's about constantly making adjustments to defend whatever it is that the offense is doing to you. And I think our coaching staff and our players do a great job of that.
And on the flip side, regarding the Giants' ability to run the football, they had two great games, took somewhat of a step back. I want to talk about a subject that got a lot of attention on the sidelines, Bradshaw showing some fire or emotion. I personally thought it's a positive thing. I think if you have a running back on
within
your team
reason.
Who
within
demands
reason.
The football.
Within reason it is.
You don't want to see him smacking a teammate upside the head necessarily.
His emotion and his intensity and his tenacity have been his trademarks from the beginning. When you're a guy who physically is his stature, yet is as tough and as powerful as he is in this game, you better have those things, and that's what he has, and he wears it on his sleeve. And even he admitted this week that, you know, there's a time and a place, and there is a context, and there's within reason in terms of how you express that. And that's where, you know, there's no question he was frustrated last week. And offensively, we were frustrated with our inability to really establish the running game. So,
but I think his teammates also feed off of that. You're right, as long as he doesn't hit Victor Cruz over the head.
Yeah, and doesn't get into shouting matches with teammates and coaches.
Now, Pat,
and again, he understands that.
Now, one of the very vocal members of your fan club, Lori, called in on Monday.
Laura.
I thought it was Lori. Maybe it was Laura.
All right, whatever.
Maybe there's
a Lori and a Laura.
The fan club growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, what are we up to?
Six? I think we are up to six. Yeah. Now,
hugely.
Said that there are a Pat Hanlon for president, Bob Papa for vice president bumper sticker somewhere in this facility. Is that an accurate statement?
I haven't seen it. And I have not. I can't imagine that, A, Bob Papa would approve of even being connected to me in any way, shape, or form, let alone as the second fiddle. So I don't think that campaign has much chance of taking off.
Now,
but the thought and the sentiment is certainly appreciated.
Now, we have dug into this a little bit deeper, and Lance had a great suggestion.
Why do you always throw him under the bus?
No,
he's been doing it for years. It's nothing.
I will happily take credit for this, too. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
now, to run your campaign, the idea here is to make Paul Dottino the press secretary because he never sleeps and will be working on your campaign 24 hours a day. Your thoughts?
Then I would I know who the first person to get dismissed from the campaign would be. I thought you were going to say Phyllis Hayes, but thank you. Listen, I got to get back to work. I'd love to see. Did you guys grow up together? Is this
we went to college together?
You guys went to college?
Yes,
huh?
We did.
Yes,
wow.
We did. I know, it's amazing. It's amazing like that a school let
I'd
us
like,
in.
I'd like to see those diplomas. Thank you.
We will keep those hidden. Thank you very much. Finally, and now Lance was too shy to bring this up before when he brought up your Twitter account. He's desperately looking for help to get more Twitter followers. Can you do something to help this poor young
Twitter?
Man?
I'm on Twitter.
What is it?
It's at Lance Meadow. So straightforward.
That's unique.
Not complex.
But it's important to note, though, that it's Meadow without the A.
Correct.
It's just
yes.
M-E-D-O-W.
The spelling
and I think that
kid.
Confuses some people.
I'm sure those thousands of people who've done a people search and have gotten lost on that. What is it? The A that's missing?
Yes, the A is missing. That's correct.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Feel free to insert any jokes right there.
No, I'm going to leave the A jokes alone. All right, guys. Have a nice weekend.
Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hanlon. Always so much fun having you join us on Fridays. Great entertainment, good information. He's fantastic. He's the best. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Right back to our phones. Gigi is in Brooklyn. What's going on?
Jay.
Oh, that's Jay? How is that Jay? Terrible handwriting. Jay, what's up, pal?
I'm good, man. I just want to say I think the game is going to be – I don't think the game is going to be close than what people think, and here's why.
Okay.
Number one. Remember game one, Giants was not really fully healthy. Two, Akeem Nicks is more healthier than he is. Three, Cruz is on the roll. Four, Prince Akamura is better than what's that, Tyron Osley or whatever. And it's just set up that Giants have all the ingredients this week to demolish the Cowboys and put them out of their misery. And, you know, because I think if they lose, this season is over.
Jay, I got to admit, I look forward to your call each and every day because each and every week you throw another team under the bus. So I was going to ask you, who's overrated this week? I know you weren't giving the Falcons some love. Who have the Giants leaped ahead of when it comes to the NFC rankings this week? Who are you down on today?
I think Minnesota is going back down to earth.
Okay.
Because they get demolished yesterday.
Demolished.
And
there we go.
I still don't have – I mean, I still like a little weary on the Chicago Bears. I mean, I know they have a good defense, but sometimes their offense is sleepwalk. And I still don't have faith in them. Right now, I still think Giants is the best team in the NFC right now.
So, Jay, who – if you had to pick one team, who do you think, though, is the biggest threat to the Giants in the NFC? How about that?
Right now, to be honest, the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
And they will see them later on in the season here at MetLife Stadium. So that will be an opportunity for the Giants to make a statement.
And how about the love that all week, man, I just think everybody's starting to realize now that Eli is an elite quarterback. He get a lot of press this week, and he deserved everything he get. I was even watching Stephen A. Day debating if he's the front runner for the MVP. Skip Bailey shocked me.
Oh, boy.
Shocking. His answer.
What did he say?
He said, yes, Eli is the front runner of the for the MVP right now.
Honestly, he might be, now that I think about it. And, Jay, thank you very much for the call. Great stuff as always. Love Jay. Yeah. He's always so positive about the Giants. Negative about everybody else. But positive about the New York Giants. I guess, think about it. Would Eli right now in the NFC be the front runner for MVP? I mean, if you look at the teams that have the best record, no one on the 49ers like you would be an MVP candidate. You look at the NFC South, Matt Ryan would probably be in that mix a little bit. Right now, if the Packers turn it around, obviously Aaron Rodgers will be in that mix. I don't think Jay Cutler has the numbers, despite the Bears' record, to be in that mix for MVP, in my opinion. Unless the Redskins go on a furious run, maybe Robert Griffin III would have an opportunity to be in that mix, but their record would have to be, you know, they would have to challenge or win the NFC East, I think. If the Giants beat the Redskins in the division, they're not going to give RG3 the MVP over Eli Manning, in my opinion. So I think in the NFC, those are very interesting guys to talk about.
And that. Manning's won games for the Giants, so that helps his resume with some additional fourth-quarter comebacks. That can't hurt.
And even in the AFC, there aren't a lot of guys that stand out. The Patriots' record isn't where it usually is, though Tom Brady always in the mix, obviously, in those categories.
Well, what about the older brother?
Maybe Peyton in Denver,
depending
possibility.
On how the Broncos do this season.
Maybe Arian Foster in Houston. If they continue to play really good football, that's a possibility, maybe.
And especially with Cushing out, leaning a bit more on the offense this year as opposed to the Texans' defense.
No one out west, I don't think, really would be in the mix
and
there,
the
except
Patriots
for Peyton, you
have been up and down, so it's not as if Tom Brady is having, you know, a tremendous season, and everybody else has really been looking up in New England.
If I had to pick an MVP today, I think I'd go Matt Ryan 1, I think I'd go Eli 2.
Well, because of the Falcons being undefeated.
Right.
And how Atlanta's offense, remember, has transformed. You know, last year they were leaning on Michael Turner. Now they're airing things out. And Tony Gonzalez is playing at a high level despite his age. So you have to consider the Falcons until they lose a game or really take a step back.
And Giant fans, don't fly off the handle and get all mad at me. I think Eli's a better quarterback than Matt Ryan. If I would pick one to lead my team, I'd pick Eli over him. But right now, by the numbers, by the record, they haven't lost a game yet. Matt Ryan, if I had to pick today, would probably deserve to be MVP. But honestly, if I had to if I decide to go down to Vegas and say, all right, I'm going to, you know, put a wager here on who is going to win MVP this year in the NFL, I might pick Eli. Aaron Rodgers would be in that mix, too. I think those are the two guys along with Matt Ryan that I think about.
Well, Rodgers won the MVP last year with the Packers. Now, I don't know the stats. I wonder how often it's been where guys have won back-to-back
MVPs. Good point,
too.
Good point.
You know, if that plays a role in the media's voting.
Here's the thing, though. Eli doesn't care.
Of course. Why should he care?
He doesn't care less about the
Why
MVP.
Should anyone
really
care on the Giants? And the same thing with respect to the fan base. I know we got a lot of calls even last season and this season about the media respect. Every Giant fan will tell you they'll take another Super Bowl in the blink of an eye over an individual award for any player on the roster.
And every player will say that as well, by the way. 201-939-4513. Two more calls before we wrap up the show. We got to do our picks as well. Do a little fantasy football, too, before we say goodbye. Nunzio is back in Pennsylvania. It's been a long time, Nunzio. How are you?
Yes. Great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
Okay. I want to know how the Cowboys kicking team is doing as far as doing coverage. I think Wilson might have opportunity for a big return and maybe Randall in the punting game.
Well, that's a great point, Nunzio, because Jacoby Jones 2 weeks ago with the Ravens returned one for 108 yards on a kickoff, and that was a big difference maker in Baltimore squeaking out a victory over Dallas. So they have had some special team issues. Specifically, I'll even throw a specific name out, and I don't know how much he's going to play on special teams now. Dan Connor, the backup for Sean Lee, was a primary special teams guy.
Good point, Lance.
And he struggled. Now, all of a sudden, Connor moves into an everyday linebacker spot. Perhaps their special teams is evolving overnight now because they got a mix-and-match personnel. That could throw them off guard where the Giants may have an opportunity to make a play. That's a very good point. Special teams could very well be a difference maker in this game.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Dunzio. It's been a while since you don't have him from either. I think it was a Pat in Chicago. Oh, yeah. Remember Pat? He had the nice accent.
Irish yes.
Accent, yeah, we haven't heard from Irish accent Pat in a while.
Yeah.
I miss that. He was a good caller.
No,
Pat, if you're out there, give us a call. I want to hear from Pat. So I don't think we've heard from him this year.
And we haven't heard from Victor in Texas, but he clearly is overseas.
Yes,
serving
our country, doing an excellent job. We thank Victor for that. We look forward to hearing from him. Maybe we'll have a chance to hear from him. I saw him on Twitter about a month and a half ago, I think it was, and we said what's up to Victor. So that was good to see. Huh? Oh, that's right. He sent it a question. That's correct. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Alan down in Washington, D.C. What's up, Alan?
What's going on, guys?
You had a good week this week, Alan, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I stopped by the office on Thursday. Just to let them know what happened if some of them missed the game. but don't worry. I was all over my texts and my general, FaceTiming and all that good stuff that
good.
We were eligible. But I in my time off, I got to see the whole game one, and I mean we did a lot of things wrong in that game. I mean, being beginning in the opening drive, David Wilson has that early fumble, puts them in very good, position. Then the drop passes by Cruz, very unlike him, and then Kevin Ogletree had the game of his life. I mean, I don't know who this guy is, but he has a game of his life, and I feel that this go around Kevin Ogletree is not going to be a factor. I think we're gonna make the adjustments there, and they don't have DeMarco Murray, which is their main weapon. If I look at that game, even the runs he had, he earned them. I mean, there were missed tackles, there were stuff that we should have stopped them on, and we didn't. And we had a couple hands on him and a couple hands on Romo, but you got to put them down. You got to put them down in the ground. You got to stop the ball, because you give them an opportunity like that, they will score. And another thing that we need to do, when we're in the red zone, we need to punch it in. We can't set up a field goal against Dallas. That will come, to bite us in the end. We got to score. And, I don't see us – I think this being with the injuries that they have in Dallas and with the way we're playing, I think this is a game that's totally in our favor, and there's no reason for us to lose.
All right, Alex, appreciate the phone call. And just piggybacking off of the point that Alex brought up from the David Wilson fumble. You look back at the game, John, it's on the second possession for the Giants, right at the beginning of the game, still scoreless. It's 2nd and 8 from the Dallas 29. They're knocking on the door in the red zone, and he coughs up the football. And I know Wilson's come a long way since the fumble, but just from a momentum standpoint, even if you get a field goal there, that could very well be the difference in setting the tone of the game moving forward.
Well,
so
sure, that
was big.
Yeah, and even bigger to me is not being able to get the ball in the end zone off the bully pick. Yeah. I mean, you have it 1st and goal, and frankly, that's something the Giants have had issues with in the past, converting on short yardage situations on the ground. But this year, they've been really good at it, and they've really turned that around this year, Lance. But in that situation, they weren't able to get the job done, and that really, I thought, hurt the Giants in that game as well. Their red zone stats in terms of scoring touchdowns, I don't think, are great this year. Lawrence Tynes has had a lot of field goals.
But he's been good for them.
He's been fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Now, I want to get back to the kickoff and punt defense stats. I know Nunzio wanted those. Hopefully, you're still listening. Cowboys rank, I guess that's around 20th in the league, allowing 26.1 yards per kickoff return. And in terms of punt return defense, let's see. I want return average. There we go. The Cowboys allow, they've been very good. No, wait, where are they? That's the Giants. They've been excellent. Oh, yeah, the Cowboys, best in the league
allowing only 3.4 yards per return, a 42.5-yard average. So there you go. So not much room on the punts, but looks like David Wilson might have an opportunity to return some kicks.
Well, and then from the Giants' perspective, they're stronger on the kickoff return than they are in the punt return so far this season.
All right, let's jump to the picks here, Lance, as we wrap this show up. You have the fantasy stuff too ready there, Mel Roy. Perfect. All right, quickly, you're at 18 and 17 on the picks. I'm at 17 and 19. Closing in on you slowly but surely.
It's the battle of mediocrity.
And we're going to have a bit of a battle this week now in terms of picks. We're going head-to-head a few times. But in the division, both of us like the Eagles to beat the Falcons. Both of us like the Redskins to upset the Steelers. I'll give my take first. I think the Falcons are simply due for a loss. I realize, much like the Eagles, they are coming off of a bye week. That being said, I think the Eagles feel a sense of urgency with the firing of Juan Castillo. I think they'll come out, play a very good game. And the Falcons are bound to lose one of these games. It's in Philadelphia. I think the crowd will be fired up. I like them. And quite frankly, I don't think the Steelers are that great this year. I don't think they're the same type of team defensively they used to be. I think the Redskins will give them a lot of problems. That offense, people still haven't figured out how to stop it yet. So I like the Redskins to beat Pittsburgh.
I like the Redskins too, and I'm not sold on the Steelers. I think they've had a very up-and-down season. A lot of guys hurt on offense now, not just defense. You know, they may go with Jonathan Dwyer as their starting running back because Isaac Redman and Rashard Mendenhall still nursing injuries. And, you know, you look back at that game against the Bengals on Sunday Night Football, Mike Wallace taking a big step back. A lot of drop passes, not nearly as consistent as he's been in seasons prior. So I like the Redskins. I think that they're going to maybe rally around the fact that they had a tough loss to the Giants, and that they can, you know, pick up where they left off, at least in terms of their offensive production, which did not take a step back against the Giants. And regarding the Eagles, I'll just leave it at this. Andy Reid is unbeaten after the bye, so I like that streak continuing for Philly.
Let's go to the wild card games, Lance. You like the Titans to beat the Colts and the Lions to beat the Seahawks.
Seattle having to go cross-country or near cross-country trip. Detroit's due for a win.
Do I need to show you a map of where Detroit is located?
It's still a lengthy trip for Seattle.
Okay.
Okay? Like I said, near cross-country. Not all the way to the East Coast, but
you
near.
You okay. Caught yourself there.
Yeah. All right. If you want to get me on that, fine. You were reaching here because you're so discouraged by your performance for picks that you just got to get at me in other categories.
That's fair. I can't
You're
argue
really
that.
You're really stretching here. Anyway, I'll get back to my point, which is the Lions beating the Seahawks, because as I mentioned, I think the travel is going to play a role. And as bad as the Lions' offense has been, do not overlook the production of the Lions' defense. They held the Bears to 13 points. It wasn't as if Chicago, whose offense has been really good, has been lighting up the scoreboard. So I think the Lions can squeak out a victory here. This could be a turning point for the Lions season.
Wow. Okay. I like those two picks, actually. I think both those have a good chance. Not the first one, but the second one, at least.
Well, you're picking opposite.
Well, I'll go to my upset now, just because it's the same game. I think the Colts will beat the Titans. I realize they've had more success with Hasselbeck at quarterback, but I feel like Andrew Luck's getting better every week. I worry about the Colts stopping the run. They're not a good running defense, and Chris Johnson had that big breakout performance last week. So that's my big concern in that game. But I like the Colts to beat Tennessee, even though that game is in Tennessee. And your upset special, we'll get to that, might as well. You like the Saints to go to Denver and beat the Broncos.
I think the Saints also have a turning point to their season now, just as the Lions. Joe Vitt's coming back. You know, Denver, remember,
you're making such a big deal about this Joe Vitt thing.
Because Aaron Cromer, I have nothing against Aaron Cromer.
Apparently
but
you do.
He can now focus on the offensive line, and he doesn't have to worry about all the other little things that come with a head coaching job, and Vitt has had more experience in that category. I mean, listen, you laugh at it now, but all of these things that happen behind closed doors can take up, you know, the day-to-day operations of a head coach, and he may not be able to focus on preparing the O-line as heavily as he would have liked to. Little things like that could be the difference.
Fair enough. My two wild card games, I like the Chargers to beat the Browns. That game is in Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland going through a lot of changes right now with new ownership being there. Hopefully, for Cleveland's sake, that can turn that franchise around, because it's a good fan base, good franchise. You want to see them be a better team and succeed. Hopefully, that'll help them get back on the right track. And I like the Bears to go to Carolina and beat the Panthers, who had that loss to Cowboys last week.
We were talking about MVPs, by the way, earlier in the season, and Chicago, no one necessarily on offense jumps out, but
Breaks.
Their defense.
Urlacher?
Yeah, their defense has been really big.
Peppers?
It goes deeper than that. I mean, even the secondary.
Tillman,
they've been playing lights out in terms of shutting down number one receivers.
And they're not surprising anybody. Everyone knows they run that Tampa 2 with Lovie Smith, and they just keep doing it, but they do it so well, teams just can't figure out a way to beat it. So
You're right, 100%. The Bears have been great.
Here's my question, looking ahead at this week. How many times has Cam Newton looked in the suggestion box?
For a new sweater?
Well, you love that sweater.
I hate the sweater.
I think deep down inside, maybe you're so fascinated by that. No. What I described as duty brown earlier, if you remember.
That is correct. That is correct. It was not a good. Anyway, were you actually going to say something, I think, football related?
No, I was just basically alluding to the fact that I thought the Bears' defense has been top to bottom the most consistent factor for that team.
Oh, so he's looking for suggestions of how to beat the Bears' defense.
I don't know if Cam Newton's going to be able to do that this week.
Yeah, I went the sweater route on that one. I don't think that was probably what actually happened. All right, fantasy here. Now, there is an important shift in the standings that we need to make clear a record-setting performance
last week. Pat yourself on the back segment to this show.
Now, last week.
Brought to you by Andrew Mark, by the way.
I went for a colossal 108 fantasy points. Utter domination. That shatters the league record for most points in the week that was owned by the great Paul Dottino. He had 99. Shattered it by almost 10%.
A league record that's only been intact for 7 weeks. But anyway, continue.
3 weeks, actually, but that's okay. So I now lead with 546 total points. Anita is in second place at 537. Howard Cross falling back to the pack a little bit at 519. Then we have Salomon, who's kind of in his own little bubble there in fourth place at 494. Then we have a mess. We have Oben, Papa, and Dottino all within 3 points of each other in that middle area. Then you're about 16 points behind them, struggling. Then you have Feagles just behind you. And then we have the guy who's running the show here.
And
by the way, he's doing a great job keeping track of the standings and doing all that and keeping the whole machinery going. But he's not obviously paying attention enough to his own selections because he's just awful.
And the Excel spreadsheets,
yeah, Excel spreadsheets, yeah. He's like 380 points. I think he's like almost 150 points behind me in first place. 130. It's a disaster. So this week, also, you have ridden your Saints picks here into the fantasy of Drew Brees as your big money guy at quarterback. We like that.
Hold on. What was the most high-scoring game last week?
Drew Brees.
And the Bucks. So that's what I'm thinking.
So what's the chance he does it again?
Going to be the highest-scoring game this week, I think.
Okay, fair enough. I went a little different. I went cheap on the quarterback this week. I went Phillip Rivers only $3 against the Browns.
Brown
trying
secondary.
To take advantage of that
Browns
secondary.
Joe Hayden's back the last couple of weeks.
But I think, remember, the Chargers general manager kind of threw the gauntlet down this week on that team, needs them to play better. So I think Phil Rivers will come out, have a big bounce back game for them. We both of us selected Willis McGahee as our $1 running back, which I think was a very good pick. Now, this is an interesting one. Vic Ballard.
Yes.
Explain.
Now, at this point in the week when I made the pick, I did not realize whether or not Donald Brown could return, but I still don't think he's going to play as a prominent role. Tennessee has struggled against the run. Look at what the Bills did last week. Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, they were money.
They
were money for you specifically and me.
He was. I went with my other running back, and this is my big money player for the week. I picked LeSean McCoy to run against a porous Falcons run defense, which I think they're fifth or sixth worst in the league against the run. They've had a lot of trouble there, so. Eagles off the bye.
I'm rooting
McCoy.
Against McCoy for so many reasons.
Brandon Marshall with 16. $16 for you. $5 for Eric Decker. I had to jump on Calvin Johnson this week. He only cost $10. Yeah. You have to take advantage of that. I realize the Seahawks are a good defense, but jumped on that. And then Julio Jones for a dollar.
The Eagles
secondary has struggled. Jumped all over
that
for just a buck. And then a tight end that went Aaron Hernandez. I think he'll finally have that big week coming back. Thirdly back from injury, only cost $6. And you went with Logan Paulson, who's stepping in for one of your favorites, Fred Davis.
Fred Davis, yes. A very memorable Lance Meadow fantasy selection in years past. He's no Harry Douglas, but Fred Davis is quite impressive.
You are.
You are in the company of Harry Douglas.
What is Harry Douglas doing this year, by the way?
I think Douglas has been hurt, if I'm correct. Yeah, he hasn't been able to get on the field. That's been a big disappointment because we are huge fans of Harry Douglas. And it more has to do with the Nick connection.
Well, now Tony Douglas is no longer a Nick.
Yes,
so
but that's where it came from.
I might have to divorce Harry Douglas here. Oh, no, 2012 regular season. 23 targets, 16 catches, 150 yards.
Hasn't played a prominent role. But remember, Tony Gonzalez is having a big season, your favorite Julio Jones, and Roddy White. So
they're
Matt
just
got a lot
saving
of
up Harry Douglas to unleash him at the right time on unsuspecting defenses.
You never know.
He has played in all 6 games, by the way.
But he has been dealing with injuries on the side.
But he's tough.
He is a tough guy.
He plays through
these
injuries. He's Harry Douglas. Yeah.
He's in a class of his own. I can't, you know, give him any more props than I've done already.
Lance, final thoughts on Giants and Cowboys.
Well, I think it gets to what a lot of the callers touched on. I think the Giants need to protect the football. You don't want to give Dallas any gifts. I mean, they had issues with protecting the football against the Redskins, but the Giants made up for that because they were able to force their own turnovers, which I thought was going to be a key. But I think it comes down to Manning protecting the football and a special teams play. That's what I'm looking at this week. I think a special teams play could be the difference, because I see both of these offenses having success. I see both of these defenses, you know, keeping the offenses in check at times. So what's the difference at the end of the day? It could be a kick return or a punt return.
Hey, look, to me, despite the fact that Cowboys defense has clearly improved from years past, the Giants are going to find a way to score points.
Yeah.
They always do. It's Eli Manning indoors. Nick's is healthy, and really, that's one thing we haven't talked about today. He spoke earlier this week, and just seeing him talk about it, he looks and sounds extremely confident about how he feels. So that's a big deal for the Giants. Eli Manning always scores indoors against Dallas. I'm not saying they put up 40, but I think they'll put up 27 or so points in that game. So can the Giants defense stop the Cowboys to the point where they can win this game? Can they stop the run so their offense can get on the field and produce points? Can they slow down Tony Romo? Can they force the Cowboys offense into turnovers? And I think it's really going to come down to the play of the defensive line. Can they stop the run, and can they pressure Tony Romo? Because if he has time, he will find a way to beat the Giants secondary. That will happen. So I think that's what this game will eventually come down to.
And if Romo has the same success in terms of getting rid of the football, as you just touched on, John, it's going to be a very tough game for the Giants defense, because Romo's the type of quarterback that gets into a groove.
Very streaky.
So if he gains momentum, he can ride that throughout a game. Or you look at the Bears game where things went wrong, the offensive line didn't play well, Dez Bryant had mental lapses, threw Romo completely off, and the entire offense struggled. That's what the Giants want to try to mimic.
Now, we'll have everything to preview this game over the weekend on Giants.com. Preview report hits the web tomorrow. Make sure you check that out. Paul, Anita, Michael Eisen, and I break down this game front to the top to bottom, I guess, front to back, whatever, same difference. Perry Fuel, Kevin Gilbride, you hear from them. Your questions on Eisen's mailbag, and you'll hear from Corey Webster inside the New York Giants locker room. So, obviously, a lot of great stuff there on Preview Report. Make sure you check it out. Then on Sunday, go to Giants.com at 4 o'clock for our interactive game feed. Lance Meadow will host that pregame at 4 o'clock, getting you ready to go for Giants and Redskins. And, of course, on Monday morning, we're back with Big Blue Kickoff Live at 9:30, just like we are every day on Giants.com. Now, Tuesday's show, I guess, is in peril here a little bit because of this hurricane, snowstorm, Frankencane thing that's coming our way. So we'll track the weather. I'm hoping we'll be able to get back from Dallas okay. That's number one on my list of concerns. But I think we should be able to beat the storm. We'll do the show Monday morning, and now I don't think it's tracking until later on Monday. So
it's hard to say at this point. I know there's reports Sunday it's going to arrive.
Oh, really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah, late,
oh, boy.
Late Sunday, perhaps, and riding all through Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
That's at
that
least
could
the
be a problem.
Reports.
You might get a call from you might have to come in, host a show on Monday. I can call in from Dallas.
Well, assuming I could get in, yeah, but you're 100%
what do you
right.
Mean, assuming
well,
we will
weather the storm. Listen, any show that I don't have to deal with you next to me is certainly a show that I look
Fair
forward
point.
To.
Everybody, thanks for joining us today. For Lance Mennel, I'm John Schmelk. This has been Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Andrew Mark on Giants.com and on your Giants mobile app. And, of course, don't forget to check out MSG Sunday morning for their big preview block of Giants and Cowboys Chronicles and, of course, Opening Drive Live as well. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Have a good one.